Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think I need to set this up for you. As you may or may not know, the Monday and Tuesday podcasts come from our Saturday show that airs on News Radio 1000 in the Seattle area. Well, this past Saturday, the day that this was recorded, the board operator sort of forgot to play the music that starts the show, which we're so used to hearing. And when it wasn't there, we were a bit surprised. Listen in.
Hello? Did the show start without us? Hello?
Hey, Doc, we gotta do the program.
Oh, really?
Oh.
I was kind of on. I was kind of expecting
I was kind of expected
to be piped in by some catchy tune and some woman I don't know who she is. She's some just faceless woman who says talking real money a lot. I kind of miss
her. Not this time. She's very busy.
I missed her a little bit, but that's okay. Hi. We could do this on our own, you think?
Not well.
I'm a little nervous now. Hi, everybody. I'm Don McDonald, and over there is my good buddy Tom Cock, and we hang out every Saturday talking real money on the radio.
Your money.
Your life.
Our money.
Yeah, somebody's money. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. You can call us on that. We'd love to talk to you. Hey, Tom. You're supposed to respond with something.
Yes.
Hey, Tom.
I was nodding my head. Don? It doesn't really work on radio.
Radio.
Sorry.
Sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey, Tom.
Yes.
You know how many times I've heard people say, you know, I tried to sell my house, but I couldn't get what it was worth. You know, nobody will pay me what the house is worth. I just can't get what it's worth. Well, why do you think it's worth a certain amount if somebody won't pay it to you? If somebody won't pay you a certain amount, is it in fact worth that amount?
No, it turns out it's not. And by the way, a guy who runs a pretty well-known company that's in the housing business said they didn't want to be in the housing business because they didn't want to insult anybody by offering them lowball prices.
You're talking about Redfin, the housing.
Yeah,
Redfin and Zillow both got into the house flipping thing when houses were hot, when the prices were going up day by day by day.
Someone, the aforementioned person at Redfin and others have been saying, well, I'll just, you know, I don't believe the prices. They're not right because supply remains low, even though inventories are rising. Sales has dropped by about 25%, and prices are down somewhere from the spring between 7 and 10%. Depends on where you are and all this. So prices are down, but that is the price.
Right. And what's funny is that but prices are probably down even more than we think they're down, because there are a lot of people who are still trying to sell their houses at those inflated prices. So they're on the market. And that's making the market look a little better than it actually is. But I love that comment from the guy at Zillow who said, we're just getting out of this because, you know what, I don't want to insult people. They're going to feel insulted when I offer them what their house is really worth. That's what it's really worth, what somebody is willing to offer you. And this points out the power of the stock and the bond markets, because we can know with a relatively high degree of certainty that at any moment, your stock or your bond is worth X, because millions of people are buying and selling those bonds and stocks every second of the day.
And the same holds true to other assets, right? Whether they be real estate, stocks, bonds, it could be
crypto.
Should I dare say it? Cryptocurrency. Yeah. Other things, non-trade. Oh, no, not name traders.
No.
You can't tell what the price. Can't tell what the price of those are, right?
Right.
That's the kind of stuff we don't like seeing you. But the this is a well-made point, I think, for anything you own. It's only worth what the next person says it's worth.
Right.
Not what you think it's worth.
Right. Just ever. like that guy who met with you and you tried to sell him the Honda for like $85,000. You said, well, hey, come on.
Trying to make something back on it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a classic now with all these electric cars out there. What? Are you going to drive an electric where you have
to
recharge
it? Remember
when
you used a gas car? Yeah. That's kind of cool. You're going to go over to the station.
If they go all electric, will our gas cars actually be worth more?
I don't know. That's a good question. I do want to mention one thing around the housing real estate situation, because I talked to another person last night who said, yeah, we have all these rental houses, but I know you're down on real estate.
No.
I'm not down on real estate. I own real estate, too. I'm down on people that think it's easy to buy and to sell, to be flippers. I'm down on people that think it's easy to, you know, buy something and be a landlord. Those things aren't, neither of those are easy passive income. Sorry, it's like running any other business. Running a business is difficult.
The only passive income, true passive income in real estate, comes through real estate investment trusts.
Correct.
That is true passive income. It does not require any work on your part. But
somebody else is doing the work.
Every other real estate investment, when you're buying individual properties, that now has gone from being a passive investment to being a real live, honest to goodness job. And jobs are great. We love jobs. Yeah.
And we're not, so again, we're not down on real estate. By the way, I'm also down, and I thought of another thing. I'm down on it when people think that they're going to get rich just buying a home and holding it for a period of time. Real estate has appreciated a little over inflation for a long time, Don, going back all the way to the 1950s.
Okay. Well,
okay.
Give us
That's
a
it.
Call
That's all
at
I get
855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. I'm Don. That's Tom. We'll be back.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
That's her. That's the woman. That's the one I was talking about
before she came back.
Thank you for
coming back,
woman. Yeah. We don't know your name, but we appreciate your efforts on our behalf.
Your work.
Yeah, you do great work. We don't know how you do it, but you're always there, almost always there when we need you. Everybody makes mistakes. I know you missed the last one, but it's okay. 855-935-TALK. That's the number to call to talk about money with me, Don McDonald, him, Tom Cock, and whoever you are. Oh, you're David. Hi, David. Welcome to Talking Real Money. David.
Dave?
Hey, I was appointed as an executor for a will. And I've gathered all the investments, sold the real property. Now, as a term of the will, money is supposed to trust for approximately 4.5 years. What I'm trying to find out is where that money should go.
Oh, Tom, the dilemma of finding a trustee.
Yeah, I mean, so this is, here's the thing about.
I'm sorry?
I was the executor, but I will be the trustee as well.
Okay.
I just need somewhere to put.
So you can put the money anywhere you want.
Yes.
You don't have to hire a trust company. Okay, good. So you're the trustee, so you can make
currently,
decisions. But now the money is held in the trust, you said, for 4 years?
About 4.5 years.
And then what happens to it? Paid out?
And it's all paid out to the heirs.
Got it.
Well, so currently, as you know, we're recommending cryptocurrency online aisle 2 at a great discount, and we think the upside is tremendous.
Oh yeah, it's nearly zero now. How much lower
tremendous.
Can it go? Can only go
if
to
it was
zero.
Good at $20,000, it looks that much better at 15.
No, you have to do as a responsible trustee, in your fiduciary responsibility as a trustee, what you should do is find out what the wishes are of those future beneficiaries. What will this money be used for them? And if it is money that is going to be invested for them long term, then my understanding is that you can, if you were to invest it a little more aggressively, you did it at the behest of the beneficiaries, you would be covered under your fiduciary responsibility, and you could then transfer the assets in kind to
move those Yeah.
Yeah. Move them That's into right. the names of the beneficiaries. So I would sit down and have a meeting with the beneficiaries and find out what they want this money to do for them, and then create a plan, an investment plan that meets those needs. If they need it in cash right out of the gate, then you're going to have to be very, very conservative. But if this is money they're going to then invest for their retirements, and it's going to be there for 10 or 12 years or more, then you can start that retirement investing right now as you build the trust.
And are these relations of yours?
Roundabout, yes. But I'm fairly certain that they'll want the cash as soon as they can.
Then you need to invest.
But you wouldn't want to have it in cash for 4 years.
Well, no, but in very conservative.
Okay, well, that's a different.
You'd
matter,
have to be in. You'd have to be to maintain your fiduciary responsibility. You would have to be in very stable bond products, or else they could come back.
Yeah.
After you for breach of your fiduciary duty and get them. So I got to tell you what I would probably do if they want the cash. Tom, correct me if you think differently, but I'd be very, very tempted to just build a ladder of treasuries or CDs, probably brokered CDs.
And you can, you know, you're getting right now somewhere around 4% on many of those, so it ain't bad, really. I mean, yeah, that could be a pretty good alternative.
Build a 4-year ladder so that every year you've got one that's mature. Well, what you're going to, no, actually, you're going to build out to 4 years and then
go to
3 years with the new maturity, 2 years with the new maturity, 1 year, and then have them all mature out at the same time and pay them off.
And you can do that at any major custodian, or if you wanted to go see what the market bears, go to bankrate.com and see what the
I think you're going to get better. I think you're going to get better rates right now through brokered CDs.
Yeah,
just go to Schwab or Fidelity or E-Trade or any of those guys. Although E-Trade, that's Morgan Stanley now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
kind of worries me. But I would go look at brokered CDs. I think that's probably your best bet. It's kind of sad that they want the cash, but that's the circumstance under which you operate. So thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it. 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. Linda, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money. Or not.
Hello.
Hello, Linda.
Oh, Linda.
We thought you sounded a little like a dial tone for a minute, but you sound like a human. What's up?
Well, thank you. I am a human. I have a question about what to do with a kind of like a lump sum, and I need to kind of avoid, not avoid, but do the tax later. And if I put it in an IRA, that's, I can defer it, right?
Okay. You're getting a lump sum of money, though, Linda. How much is this lump sum of money?
$20,000.
Okay, and this is money that you're going to use later to pay yourself in some fashion.
Yeah, use it for retirement.
Okay, how old are you right now, Linda?
67.
67, and when do you think you might want to start drawing that money out?
Haven't given much thought because this is a kind of an extra amount.
I'm going to assume you have earned income right now.
Haven't given much thought to when to use it.
Do you have earned income right now?
But I want a liquidity, though. Don't want it to be stored in some annuities.
No, we don't want that either. We're opposed to annuities. Now, do you have earned income?
Yes, earned income.
Good. How much?
Earned income, yes.
So you have a job. How much do you make a year, roughly?
Probably 50.
Good. And you don't fund an IRA right now?
I don't have one yet.
Tom, you got an idea for her, I think.
Yeah, I do. I would just roll that into an individual retirement account and
Roth.
Own a target. Well, she can't roll it into a Roth.
No.
It's pre-tax money.
Is it pre-tax money?
Yeah, she said it was in a retirement type account.
Oh, okay. You got to roll it into an IRA. Okay. Yeah.
And then own a target date fund of some kind, 2030, maybe 2025, something like that. Pretty simple. You go to Vanguard and you could own a target date.
Roth IRA?
You'd have to pay taxes on it.
A Roth IRA?
If you put it into a Roth, you'd have to pay taxes on it. Thank you for the call.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And calls always invited at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. You can call us live when we do the show on Saturdays from noon to 2 Pacific, 3 to 5 Eastern, at 855-935-8255. And you can send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com. So, here's one of those questions. Tom got this one. We mentioned in the last hour of the last podcast that Tom got a question from one of our international listeners.
Yeah, from Dublin, Ireland. Wow.
It
came by Raven, I guess, or something. This is from Ally. Ally or A-L-L-Y? Don't know how to pronounce that in Ireland.
Ally.
Okay. Writes, greetings from Dublin, Ireland. Our weather is kind of between Washington and Florida. It rains many days, but we do get this is actually in the note, a wee bit of sun every day. Can you give me that, a wee bit of?
Well, you get a wee bit of the sun every day in Seattle, too, don't you? The Emerald, the Emerald City, they're the Emerald Isle.
That's right.
I wonder why they're both so emerald. Wouldn't you think that maybe it's because it rains?
It's a fun place to live where people pop over to places and say, ah, sure, look it, for no apparent reason.
Ah, sure, look it.
I don't know what
for
that
no
means.
Apparent reason.
I
well,
don't
because
know what means,
because there's a bit of a leprechaun in everyone, isn't there?
I guess so.
It's magically delicious.
Allie writes, I have many questions to start with this one. In virtually every episode until quite recently, you promoted the exchange-traded fund VT, Vanguard's Total Stock World Index. Recently, you've been seeing the praises of Avantis's relatively new all-equity markets ETF, AVGE.
Excuse me, may I interrupt for a minute? You can't get either of those in Ireland anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, well, then you're screwed. But this week, you mentioned... Can I say that nicely?
I don't know.
You mentioned the AVUG isn't weighted very heavy international. You threw out the idea of supplementing it with another Avantis ETF that's international. At no point in the conversation did either of you even mention VT. Pardon me. I haven't heard you mention VT in weeks, months. What gives, guys? Ah, sure. Look, I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you no longer promote VT for your customers? Is it AVGE plus Avantis ETF in your eyes since it's two ETFs versus one? Oh, by the way, there's a PS.
Yeah.
You had me at We Hate Leaf Blowers. I despise them, too. They're pointless. Thanks for the great show. I'm a regular listener who learned a lot from you, too.
I sure am Igora. How stereotypical was that impression? How stereotypical was it, though? Really? Stereotypical.
Yeah. Okay, this gets back to something we discussed last hour, last podcast.
Yeah.
Every time we mention something doesn't mean you have to add it to your portfolio.
Yeah.
You got to have a portfolio. Sometimes new things come along that make more sense than the other. Okay, just to go back to our question here, and I don't know if you can get this in Ireland or not.
I don't know. Maybe it's on the exchanges. Maybe you can. I don't know.
Maybe it can. But the Vanguard Total Stock World Stock Index, VT, is more weighted to U.S., more weighted to large companies than the Avantis AVGE. They're very similar because they own a global equity portfolio. We have simply said that if we had to pick one today, I think I'd probably pick AVGE because it fits better with what I believe, and that is that small and value stocks will make more over time. Doesn't mean we hate VT or we hate Vanguard.
We don't.
That's where we are today.
We don't. It's called evolution, and we are big believers in it.
Which apparently stopped in my family thousands of years ago.
Yeah,
but still,
we're not going to go there. But the reality is we are all so accustomed to listening to radio shows or watching TV shows or reading articles where somebody is promoting a stock.
Yes, I
saw a Motley Fool article today that says, you want to have $1 million in retirement, buy these three stocks and hold them for 10 years. We're not promoting anything. We've got no skin in any of these mutual funds game, and they have no skin in our game. They don't pay us. We don't ask for anything in return from them. We keep our eyes open for things that make sense academically, that fit the portfolio research that has been done over the past 50 or so years. And it's really amazing research. And as long as it fits that research, we're probably going to sing its praises. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
I just realized that this is going to be next week's podcast. Warts and all.
Yeah, but the information's been good.
The information has been extraordinary, Tom, and thanks to you.
I don't know about that. By the way, I was supposed to mention something I failed to do so earlier.
What?
I have to just say these two little words, and then I'm done.
Oh, is this a plug?
Go Grizzlies.
This is
the big game is only an hour and a half away.
This is the 1A state soccer championship
They're in the Elite Eight this afternoon, dude. This is a big deal.
Elite Eight.
Go Grizzlies. So.
Is your little Grizz playing?
I don't know about playing. She'll be there.
Well,
she
know.
She may not play. So anyway, she's part of the team.
Have you ever thought about tripping some of the other girls just so she gets some playing time?
I bring my red cards and my whistles and do the best I can
from the stands.
So give that one a red card. And that never works.
855-935-TALK. That is a number that helps you make money work for you a lot harder, a lot better.
Well, look at the calls we've had today. Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating. It's around market timing.
It's the same old stuff.
Basically, it really is because people are like, well, I've waited because – why? Well, because the market was – or Ukraine or you whatever. It's those things are ancillary.
I listen to your show religiously and I'm thinking about getting out of the market because it's so far down. What do you think I should do? But I listen religiously and I follow everything you say.
Which part are you following?
I bought VT when you liked that, and then I sold it when you said AVGE, and then
got it.
We do have a 1,000-plus podcasts. I understand how it can be confusing. It can be overwhelming, but
we still have a guy who's listened to every one of them too.
A guy.
He wrote me last week,
The guy.
He claims he listened to every one of them.
What was the number again? Oh, 855-935-TALK. Yeah, that one.
Should I flash that in front of you or something?
I get confused easily. And remember, if we're not here taking your calls, the marvelous thing about that phone number is that it does work all day and all night, every day of the week. It is the hardest working phone number in America. It is slaving to take your calls and forward your questions to the two of us here at Talking Real Money. And here's one that just came in. Okay, a week ago, but it came in.
Hey, this is Kyle from Florida. I'm new to listening to the show. I've probably only heard a dozen episodes or so, but obviously I heard you guys talk a lot about index funds and low expense ratios. So my question is, I've done some comparing between especially a lot of Vanguard funds with low expense ratios and some actively managed funds. And even when I run the calculation out, if the actively managed fund is doing 1% or 2% better than the Vanguard fund or a low expense ratio fund, if the actively managed fund is doing a couple percent better over 20, 30 years, it still seems like you come out ahead even though you're paying the higher expense ratio. So I was just wondering if there's something else I'm missing or why do you guys veer away from actively managed funds? I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, there's something you're missing.
Yeah.
One, you're talking only about past performance. And there's a very famous saying in investing, past performance does not indicate future results.
That's one.
Two.
Number two. Yes.
Two. You're picking. There may very well have been, and by the way, there are two huge studies that were done on this, where some academics looked at the performance of actively managed mutual funds, and they found that a portion of, and at any given time, it was about 20%. Of 10 to 20 of actively managed funds outperformed their indexes. However,
let's make sure we clarify what an actively managed versus index fund is. An actively managed mutual fund or exchange traded fund has a manager picking stocks, timing markets, moving in and out of sectors, etc. Actively managing the portfolio versus an index simply owns all of the equities in that particular index, or for example, the Standard & Poor's 500. So they're completely operated differently, although there's closet indexers and we don't want to go there.
Right. So at any given time, they found that, a certain percentage of active funds do beat their indexes. However, then they factor in luck, because at any given time, somebody is going to beat the market just because they made a lucky guess. And when they factor in luck, they find that about 1% have beaten the market, possibly based on skill. However, how do you find that 1%? Because they've already beaten the market. How do we know which ones are going to beat the market? We'll continue this after this.
Tom and Don are talking real money. Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to our little get-together that we call Talking Real Money. We're so glad you decided to listen, and we hope you'll give us a call from time to time when you need a little help at 855-935-TALK. Now, the last caller raised some really interesting points about active funds occasionally beating value funds, and we admit they do. Sometimes.
Index funds. You said value funds.
I'm sorry, that actively managed funds beat index funds.
Yeah.
They do. Misspeaking. But it's interesting. The Standard & Poor's index versus active survey done twice a year.
SPIVA.
Has found consistently that somewhere around 75 to 80% of active funds underperform their benchmarks or their indices pretty regularly once you get out to long periods of time. Short term, you might have some dramatic outperformance. And one of the fund groups that people often use to tout this outperformance is the American Funds Group. Actively managed funds. They tend to skew very big blue chip. They're a gigantic group, about as big as Vanguard. They're right up there in the Vanguard universe. And they occasionally do have funds that do pretty well. For example, their American Mutual Fund is a 5-star rated fund by Morningstar. And its return year to date this year, -3.77 so far.
Pretty good when you consider the S&P 500 is down 15.
Exactly. So why is it down less than the S&P 500? Because it has a value tilt.
Yeah. If you own small cap companies, you're only down about breaking even.
And if you compare it with Vanguard's S&P 500, it's dramatically outperformed this year. But if you
the same thing.
But if you compare it with Vanguard's value index fund. Now, see,
large U.S. companies.
Now we're dealing with apples and apples. An actively managed fund versus a comparable. As a matter of fact, let me just look at the. Vanguard's fund skews almost identically value as does the American Mutual Fund. Almost very, very close on Vanguard Morningstar's chart. However, the Vanguard Value Index over the past year to date, only down 1.5%.
Interesting.
So if you looked at those two, you'd say,
Yeah, here's the thing about deciding for yourself, and everybody has to decide. You got to decide what you believe. I mean, I decided 30 years ago that I would rather accept what the market delivers.
Right.
In other words, I own indexes or index-like funds. Markets go up, I make some money. Markets go down, a little bit money. But over the long haul, everything I believe, everything I read that I trust says that owning the market will provide a good rate of return. It will provide it with less volatility. It'll provide it with less cost. And it will provide it with less opportunity for disaster. Because
recently, you hit that on the head.
I mean, recently you saw somebody who was a genius, right? Until she wasn't.
The oh, you mean Kathy? Sunk. Kathy.
Right, Kathy Wood. I mean, she looked smarter than Warren Buffett, smarter than Jimmy Buffett. I mean, she was really, really, really smart. And then those few stocks she picked went sunk. So, I mean, again, actively managed funds can have huge disasters in that way that the passive asset classes may go down, but they've always kind of gone back up. So, you know, I just don't trust them. I don't trust the managers. And I have friends, by the way, who are active managers, one of whom has a very fine track record. But I would still rather own the market and get market-like returns. I believe that. I believe that for you. And I believe that for the future, for my kids and grandkids, for that matter.
And it's interesting. The Vanguard Balanced Index has 341 stocks in it because they're taking from the S&P 500. The American Fund has 172 stocks in it. So you've got almost
safer,
double,
or less risky, pardon me.
Yeah, you got almost double the diversification. Yep. And the index, actually the right index, if you compared the you people are always comparing the wrong indexes. As a matter of fact, almost everybody compares almost every fund to the S&P 500.
Which is totally unfair and unreasonable.
Really,
it should not be.
Across the board.
I mean, again, this is, as I said, this is something you, an investor, has to decide. There's another very famous guy on the radio who has decided that he has a fund manager that makes 12% a year. I don't believe it.
Dave Ramsey?
Dave Ramsey.
He uses the American funds.
And still uses, like, that's easy. You just buy this one fund, I know, and you get 12% a year, Don. That's easy. You don't buy passive index funds.
I got to tell you, he may have, but, for example, the American Mutual Fund over 15 years, 8.25% now over 15 years because we've kind of thrown
a wrench.
You're
reading the right charts, Don. I got a better chart for you. So this is something, it's a style that I trust. I don't trust active managers.
Well, and for that caller, really go check out the Standard & Poor's index versus active study of all mutual funds. See, what we tend to do as human beings is confuse anecdotes with data. We think because we did some research on our own, and this is what we found, that is data, that the 12 mutual funds we looked at are indicative of the total market. They are not. And the biggest problem of them all is this. This is what you have to remember. And I don't think we can say this enough, Tom. There is no present or future tense in investing. We cannot say, we've got to quit saying, XYZ did this. Because the implication is that if it, it's doing this.
Doing.
The
current
stock market is going up. This fund is rising. Mm-hmm. Because the implication is that it will continue to do that.
I think you can even continue what you just said a moment ago. What's happened, we think in a general sense, will continue to happen if you step back and look at way back. In other words, you know, kind of generally stocks will make more than bonds. Generally, smaller and value stocks will make more than big ones. But other than that, I don't make a whole lot of assumptions about what the future looks like.
Well, no, as a matter of fact, we really shouldn't even make those assumptions. We can only say that stocks have made more than bonds, that bonds have made more than cash, that value stocks have beaten growth stocks over long periods of time. Not always. We just saw about a 15-year period.
Mm-hmm.
Where
almost
value
15 years.
Almost 15 years where value stocks underperformed growth, contrary to all the research. So even 15 years can be too short a time frame.
And it tests you. It tests you to be an investor in those when you believe something and then you have to hang on and wait for that to get the payoff to occur. It's hard. Investing does require patience. So back to the original question. That's the difference between active and, if you will, passive or indexing. I trust the passive or index approach because I think it has real science on its side. Everything else is complete supposition for me.
I don't even think you should say for me. I think it's for everybody. That is just the reality of the market. It's kind of like saying stocks have to rise more than they fall. They have to. It's not saying they can't. But if they do fall more than they rise, then you should really just kiss your derriere goodbye. Bye.
Tom and Don are talking real money. For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And if you ever doubted the fact that Tom will actually meet with you and spend some time one-on-one helping you with money, well, you should have listened to the last hour, because the guy said, you know, I met with Tom and he didn't try to sell me anything. While I'm a little
other than the Honda.
While I'm a little disappointed that he didn't try to make us lots of money, I guess he did prove us to be honest. At least so.
And you need to, you got to have a plan no matter where you are in life. You got to get rid of the hodgepodge and you got to have a way to look at the markets moving forward wherever you've been. And I'll help you do all that absolutely free with no high pressure sales. I think that's the word you use, right?
I use that a lot. And it'll be you if you have, if you can fit people in, but otherwise we'll get you one of our advisors. So just go to talkingrealmoney.com, click on meet an advisor, or call 800-386-3004.
You realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary, investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That's a wrap.